All right, good morning. I have a story to read to you this morning. If I can find my paper here. So this morning I'm going to talk about, I'm going to read a couple stories. And both of the stories talk about people who prayed to God when they were in need. And there's two different examples of ways that God can meet our needs. The first story is going to talk about what I believe we would call a miracle, where God comes in a supernatural way and meets a desperate need with no human intervention. We don't see how it works, but we know that God was there and he miraculously allowed something to happen. And the second story is an example of God meeting a need by putting it in someone else's heart to come to our rescue when we need help. And God uses other people sometimes in just the right way, at just the right time, to show us that. So let me read these stories and I'll have some more thoughts. All right, the first story is called God's Power. "Tie your parka before you go out," Mama called as Nathan started to open the door. Nathan tied the hood of his heavy parka while Mama bundled Betsy in blankets and fastened her in the car seat. Then they all trudged through the snow to the car. The thermometer showed 10 degrees below zero, so the inside of their noses soon tingled from breathing the cold air. How good it was to jump into the car Daddy had warmed and waiting for them. Daddy fastened Betsy's car seat into place while Nathan and Mama buckled their seatbelts. Then Daddy backed the car out of the driveway and headed north. About once a month, Daddy needed to make the long 8-hour drive north to check on things at the mission in the bush country. This time, he had decided to take the whole family with him. I think this story takes place in Canada. And up there, it's very... a very wild place. There's the further north you go, the less people there are, less towns, and it's a lot of forest, and it gets very cold in the winter, and we'll see what happens here in the rest of the story. Through the snowy north woods they drove, mile after mile. There was nothing to see except pine trees and snow. Once in a while they came to a tiny town they went through so quickly that it almost seemed as if there had been no town there at all. "We'll stop here for gas," Daddy said as he pulled up to a gas pump at a little station in Goose Lake. "If anybody needs the restroom, now is the time to go. This is the last town before the bush country, and we have another 3 hours' drive before we get to the mission." "It's getting colder, isn't it?" Mama said, shivering, as she and Nathan got back into the car after Daddy had paid for the gas. "Yes, it is," Daddy said. "The thermometer shows 20 below zero now, and it will get colder when it gets dark. I want to get there before night." "It's starting to snow," Nathan said after they had driven almost an hour on the lonely north road. "How far is it yet, Daddy?" "About another 2 hours," Daddy answered. Suddenly, the car sputtered and nearly choked off. "What's wrong?" Mama asked anxiously. "I don't know," Daddy admitted. "We can't be out of gas because I just filled up." He slowed down and the car ran smoothly again. But as soon as he drove faster than 35, the car began sputtering again. "It's going to take a long time to get there if we can't go any faster than this," Mama said in a worried voice. She did not say the rest of what she was thinking. What will we do if the car stops running? No one lives along this road, and probably no one else will drive through here for weeks. If the car stops, it's too far and too cold to walk for help. And there are wild animals in the woods. "Let's ask God to help us," Daddy said. He prayed as he drove without closing his eyes, asking God to be with them and to take care of them in the lonely woods. Then Mama and Nathan each took a turn praying. Slowly, Daddy drove on. Nothing changed. The only way the car would keep running was to drive very slowly. Darkness was falling fast, and they still had 50 miles to go. Time dragged as they drove slowly through the snowy, cold darkness. Finally, hours after bedtime, they at last reached the mission. "Can you take a look at my car in the morning?" Daddy asked Dean, who was the mission's mechanic. He told Dean how the car had been acting and how long it had taken them to make the drive. "Look at this," Dean whistled the next morning. He pulled his head out from under the hood of the car and stood up. In his hand was a broken wire. "There is no way this car could have run," he exclaimed. "This wire was broken completely off." "But it did," Daddy said. "We drove 100 miles after the trouble started." "You were running on God's power because this car had none," Dean said, and shook his head in amazement. Tears came to Daddy's eyes. He knew they could have frozen to death if the car had stopped running. "We asked God to take care of us, and he did," Daddy said simply. There's a verse here that says, it's out of Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." A lot of times we probably don't think about the danger that we're in so many times. And I know what it's like to live up north where it's really cold and not a lot of people around, and there's a lot of precautions that you're warned to take during the winter. I remember it was a lot of people wouldn't leave the house without a pair of boots and an extra warm coat and stuff in the car, and a way to start a fire if they had to. Because when it gets that cold, it doesn't take long for your body to start. It gets so cold that it starts freezing, and you can die very quickly that way. And so we see how God allowed them to keep driving and get safely where they needed to get, to a warm place. In the next story, this is an example of God using someone else in the life of a family that was in a desperate need. And God put it in someone's heart to help them out and to be the miracle that they needed. "Tell me a story," Glenn begged. "What kind of story?" Grandpa asked. "A story about when you were a boy." The stories Grandpa told about when he was a boy were some of Glenn's favorite. He could hardly imagine living the way Grandpa had lived in those days so long ago. "Which one do you want to hear?" Grandpa asked. "Shall I tell about the barn fire or rolling the old car? Or would you like to hear a new story you've never heard before?" "Tell a new story," Glenn decided quickly, "one I've never heard before." "All right," Grandpa said, "let me think." He picked an orange from the bowl of fruit on the table and turned it over thoughtfully. "You know, when I was your age, we had oranges only at Christmas time," Grandpa said. "Only at Christmas? Why?" "I grew up in what was called the Great Depression," Grandpa said. "It was a time when a lot of people were out of work, and most people did not have much money. My mother used empty feed bags to make some of our clothes. We walked home from school for lunch. We called it dinner. Every day, my mother cooked a big kettle of oatmeal for dinner. We ate it with milk, but it was thin milk because she added water to make it last longer. She poured the leftover oatmeal into a pan and let it cool. The next morning, she sliced the oatmeal and fried it for our breakfast. Oatmeal was cheap, and we ate it twice a day." "Oh, no," Glenn complained. "I don't like oatmeal." "I got mighty tired of it," Grandpa admitted, "but it was all we had to eat, so I ate it anyway." "My father had not finished paying for a house," Grandpa went on. "When the Depression started, he could not pay anymore. He fell so far behind on his payments that the bank said the house must be sold. They called that being sheriffed, because the sheriff took charge of the sale and saw that people got the money that was owed to them. Things usually sold for low prices at sheriff sales, and people came to get bargains. When the day of the sheriff's sale came, we did not know what we were going to do. Our house and everything in it was going to be sold. All the money would go to pay the people to whom my father owed money. We would not have a place to live nor money to buy another house." "What happened?" Glenn asked. "My father had to stay with the auctioneer," Grandpa said, "but my mother gathered all of us children around her, and we asked God to take care of us. We were all crying, even my mother. Finally, the sale was over. My father came and told us what had happened. The deacon in the church had bought almost everything that had been sold, including the house. He would leave everything there, and my father could pay him back whenever he was able." "So you didn't have to find another place to live?" Glenn asked. "No," Grandpa said. "We were still poor and still eating oatmeal twice a day, but at least we could go to bed at night in the same house in our own beds. God saw our need and heard our prayers. He took care of us by sending a man with enough money to help us." "Did your father ever pay it all back?" Glenn asked. "Yes," Grandpa said, "but it took a long time. My father always said he paid for our things twice, when he bought them and when he bought them back." And the verse from Philippians chapter 4 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So, I hope you enjoyed these stories and seeing the way that God can answer our prayers. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, so even if we don't see an answer right away for something we're praying for, we're not supposed to give up or stop praying. We need to continue seeking God for that need. God loves to hear our prayers. He loves to hear us praise him. And maybe most importantly, God loves to hear our thanks. When we see the great things that he does for us, God wants us to thank him often for his blessings. That's all I have this morning. So let's have a prayer and you can go back to your seats. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you for each of these children that is up here to learn. And I pray you give them open hearts that they would just be able to remember these stories, these examples of your faithfulness. I pray you help them to seek you their whole life, Lord, and that they could just learn to rely on you for their needs as they get older, and that they could find you faithful in so many ways. We just pray for the rest of the service that you would bless it, and bless each of these children, Lord. Help them to be obedient and to trust their parents and to walk closely with them, that you would lead them into a relationship with you someday. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.